overwhelming to you. The first sticky thing is this: relationships with parents, youth leaders, and church members. And I'm done. Can you believe that? One of the number one things, kids had actually stayed connected to the people of God after graduation from high school. Even if they went to a state school, even if they went to the military, just into the workforce, it's relationships with parents, surrounding adult community, and those leaders in their youth ministry. So let me kind of give you an example of that. I want you to think right now how many sermons on this stage or in your childhood or camp experiences or devotionals, whatever. Can you think of the number that you can go back to and say, this is a lesson that I remember that changed my life? Everybody just kind of think, you know, in your brain right there. I don't know where else you would be thinking, but right there. Think of a number. Other than this lesson, I'll give you one. So other than those. Now, I want you to think of an adult that shaped your spiritual life. Like that, right? It could have been a youth minister. It could have been a teacher. It could have been the person sitting next to you. It could have been someone in this church. Now, again, please don't go and fire your entire ministry staff, because part of our deal is to work with Ephesians chapter 4 to build up that body. Everybody has a place so that we won't be tossed around by every whim and every weird teaching out there. Guess what? You don't take to social media to fight against the world. You don't take to the phone. You don't take whatever it is. How we fight our battles is by the influence that we have in the body of Christ. And guess what? Our kids are watching. It's difficult raising older kids. Anybody with me on that? Because you're really not their parent anymore. You know, you're like, please call me, please call me, please call me. You're about to make a mistake, please call me. It's weird what goes on in your head. And you know you got to let them fail, but you're like, please call me. But here's where it is. When they start doing weird things, you're like going, did they learn this from what? From me. Will they remain close to faith? If some of you have journeys that are just sad. I get it. I do too. There's times that we just cry over our kids' faith. And I don't want this to be kind of one of these guilt things, but I'm saying as long as we have breath in our lungs, we still have a testimony and a witness of how God can change us, and our kids are watching, and you know they are. So that's number one. Sticky faith number two. I wrote this down because it could be dicey, and I can already tell from your prayers, a wonderful communion service, and our song service, that kids that have a healthy view of the gospel do better when they leave. They attach to something. Now, what is an unhealthy view? When we were doing research, it was amazing that when we asked and described to these high school kids kind of what it means to be a Christian, and then we asked them, what do you think it means? They mentioned loving people, which is great. But the problem comes in seeing faith primarily as something we do to please God. The number one answer never mentioned Jesus. It was kind of this weird transactional deal. We're supposed to love people, and it came down to this. They believe God will like them better if they can follow a list of do's and don'ts based on keeping their sin in check. Well, how are we doing, adults? Do you see that the gospel is more than just behavior modification? That is something that happens as a result of our transformation that happened at the cross of Jesus. Amen? If any of us look in the mirror, we're like going, I see that. And the great part is that God's like, I don't see that. And it's not just about getting ready for your death so you can go to heaven. It is about transformation now. I've come to give you life, and life what? And some of us don't have abundant life because we got this trailer of sin back here that we can't get rid of. And we're like, oh. There's a song. I'm going to wait because I got to read something. Here you go. Friends, if my understanding of the gospel and its validity to save me is based on my own goodness, I very rarely write things down. This is important. And ability to wear a seatbelt, vote conservative, watch my language, stay away from cats, and dress appropriately for church, I'm in trouble. At some point, Students raised with this behavior-based gospel come in contact with the ugliness of the world and are experience personal moral failure. And when this happens, a behavior-based gospel leaves the student feeling lost, hopeless, and alone to deal with their sin. At Lubbock Christian, about 28% of our student body is Church of Christ. 60% is they would identify as Christian. 40% come for the incredible academics and athletics. And I get to teach general Bible, and it's a thrill. It is so much fun. And when we get to this idea of why did God create you, most of the kids who are raised kind of in conservative, they're like, well, we were created to worship and serve God. And I look at him, I said, so is God a narcissist? They're like, what? I said, can you read that in the Bible anywhere? And then they actually read the Bible, and they're like, God wants a relationship with me. He actually likes me. Yes, he does. That's why we worship and serve him, because we all worship and serve some God. And then I asked him a follow-up question. I said, okay, who is worship for? This is where it gets tricky. And I've started a lot of fights with elders. It's fun. Who is worship for? Well, worship's for God. Then we better get it right. Worship's to God and has always been our focus. But according to the Bible in Hebrews, worship's for all of us too. So we can encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Because if worship's for God, we really got a problem, because at least you have shape notes. That's good. I didn't see nobody with songbooks. And when I was a kid, there was only a certain way to sing. Right? Some of these songs, not written by church authors. And some of the music of these new songs came out of the bars. Did y'all know that? Well, see how ridiculous the argument is after a while? And you start thinking, okay, what is the good news of the gospel? Because you know as well as I do, I can't be good enough for the goodness that I saw in Jesus. So I speak at rallies a lot around the country and different youth conferences. And it's crazy, because if you sing the song, I hope you're not going to sing it today, Does He Still Feel the Nails? I'll say, no. I mean, I just talk out loud. I can't help it. It's a misuse of scripture, because kids sing that and they weep. And some of you weep going, oh, the other day I was driving on 75 and somebody cut me off. I flipped them off. I'm going straight to hell. I hope God, I just need to let you know. Aren't you glad that our grace is not that fragile? Now, they said I can go a little bit over. I need to tell you something. In Genesis 15, the very beginning of this grace journey, when God had Abraham separate animal halves, correct? Remember that? Weird story. God makes promises to Abraham. You're going to have a son. You're going to be a nation. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. And all of a sudden, all the world will be blessed through you. What's supposed to happen is two people are supposed to walk through those animal halves, and only one did. According to Hebrews, it says, Abraham never walked through it because God had to promise himself, because he knew we couldn't do it. You cannot save yourself. Paul goes so far to say this: if you believe your actions has anything to do with your own salvation, then you're saying that Christ died needlessly. Our students need to know when they fail, which they will, 1 John chapter 1. When they fail, Romans chapter 3, 23, that the gift of God is salvation. And what that does, it doesn't give them a right to go ahead and do whatever they want to do, Romans 6. But it reminds them that such a great love demands such a great love and response. It's actually a better motivator. Because our kids aren't buying the fact of this idea that I can scare them into something. They want to know, what's the difference now in 2021 when people can't get along and I'm scared about the future and everybody's going crazy? Can you give me hope? The hope of the world is still Jesus. You should say amen at that point, because our king is still on the throne. It doesn't matter. Washington cannot save the church or destroy it. People greater have tried, and we're still here. Our king is on the throne, and there is no panic from his rule. Amen? Do you hear that, young people? There's something. So,
David, are you saying that we should let our children not wear seatbelts, vote liberal, use bad language, own cats, and wear shorts to church? No, here's what I'm saying. John 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not, if you keep my commandments, then I'll think about loving you. Some of us were raised with the latter. I did a weird thing and I just read the Bible. Go read John 15 in the context of that verse. Last words, first things of Jesus. He is about to die. He's walked out of the city gates. He is having an ongoing conversation. And he says, guys, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You're like, what are the commandments? Well, I remember I had a long list of them. How about you? Do this, do this, do this, do that. And then he actually answers his own question later. Do you realize that? We just keep reading. And here's my command. You love one another. And by that love, all the world will know that there's something different about you. Our students need to know that any behavior-based change is a response to a grace-based gospel. Here's what Paul says, Romans 5. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. This is amazing to me. One of the number one questions, if God loved us so much, why is there suffering in the world? Well, we've pretty much screwed it up. Okay, bad things happen to good people. Jesus said that. You got a house built on sand, a house built on rock. Storm hits both of them, right? So suffering happens. But somehow Paul says there's some reason we can glory in this suffering. And God doesn't waste the pain. He says it produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were attending church, turn it upside down. While we were at Vacation Bible School, nope, it's not that one. While we were, and you saw that word, sinners, Christ died for us. Following verses, Paul said, when you're an enemy of God, he became your ally. That's the greatness of the grace. Everybody take a deep breath. I am sick of doing funerals for old people who are afraid to die because they can't forget what they did. Don't. Romans 8, the accuser, did you hear our brother Jim? Is he speaking? The blood of Jesus silences the word of the accuser. Amen. Oh, that's good news. Young people, you need part of that. Another factor, and it's not, I'm just going to go through some of these. When kids participate in service and justice work, not just going on mission trips with the young people, but when adults join them, I want you to think back to your childhood when that older person said, I want you to come over here and sing at this funeral. I want you to come with me. We're going to go fix a lady's fence. All of a sudden, you became part of the mission of the church. It's a big fancy word called intergenerational. So we're not just sending the kids off. We're going with them. If you work with the youth group, you are not a sponsor. You're not a chaperone. We've had enough of those. They have principles. You are a co-minister. You're going with them and working. That makes a big difference. We know that from research. Also, the freedom to express and explore doubt. Oh, my word, this is difficult. We love to bubble wrap our students, and they're afraid to ask. They're afraid to ask the questions because they're afraid of their response. But if our church family, and I'm telling you, we're way beyond evolution against creationism. Those are conversations that our students need to have with us. But they also need to talk about some very strong things. One of the number one issues they struggle with right now is how do we deal with this same-sex culture? How do we work with our friends who've come out and said that they are gay or lesbian? How do we deal with these things? If you're uncomfortable right now, you're like, going, oh my word, he just said it in church.
the process. Our kids have to feel the freedom within the family of God to say, how do we deal with this? And then together, even if you don't have an answer, it's what my mother who's gone to be the Lord would say. If you don't have the answer, you say, let's look what the Bible says. Go on the journey with them. Why? Because if not, they're going to pick up their phone and say, hey, Google, do you want that to be the authority of our young people? So when our young people feel comfortable about addressing all of their fears and doubts in the family of God, then they're like, even if we disagree, by the way, even if the children and the older people disagree, they will see your authenticity to be able to have the conversation and to share your beliefs and listen to them. Do you see how that works? Okay, I don't know. Freedom to express and explore doubt is huge. And then relationships with friends, real relationships with friends. When Lisa and I were first married, we've been married over 30 years, and it's amazing because a lot of things have happened in our lives, a lot of challenges, a lot of death, a lot of just stressful events, and we were always drawn towards the older voices because in our younger classes, especially when we're in our 20s, all they would talk about in class is like, oh, I got a new house, it's wonderful, it's good, what kind of curtains are you going to get? These are great curtains. These are wondering, where are we going to go eat? And it was just like surface conversations. And nobody knew how to approach us because they're like going, there's so much stuff going on. And we just wanted to have conversations with our friends, but they were uncomfortable with that. So we didn't have a lot of real relationships with people in our own age group. And so the Lord gave us older mentors, and that was wonderful. But why is that so significant? Because our students need to know that our relationships with here is more than, how are you doing today? Well, I'm doing fine. It's called the Christian F word. What if you're not doing fine? Nobody walked up here and go, Basil's like, and we're introducing each other going, Basil, man, I've had a hard day. Can I just have a hug? That would probably freak him out. I get you. Probably not Basil. I just saw your reaction. He would say, here, I'll give you a hug. I mean, I get that. I love that. Where's the lady who made us fill out a visitor card? You need more of her. She's awesome. She's probably serving somewhere. She's like, hey, I think I'm the speaker, but I'll fill out a card for you. Yay, I did my job. I mean, you need that. You need people who will say, you know what, I've known you for a while, but you're really not doing well. Can we go get coffee? Because if relationships with moms and dads and other adults and youth leaders, our students need to see that what we say here about being a body of Christ and laughing together and crying together is authentic and real. And when they realize that it's authentic and real, they're like, I want that. Because what they get out there is all superficial and is absolutely transactional to their performance and how they look and all the likes they have on social media. So they need to see real relationships. When I walked over here, it wasn't a fan club. This lady right here has known me since I was a snotty-nosed brat. Her brother baptized me. It is one of my mentors. Patrick walked up. I've known him since, oh my word, too long. A long time. Ty, Lance, and Jessica, all these people, we have a real relationship. One of the greatest conversations Lance and I ever had was right there at the Star, and we were eating breakfast, talking about a presentation we were going to make, but quickly it started moving into how's Dave and how's Lance doing? That in my life. How about you? Our students need that face to face. And when we have that, they start to realize the community of God does have something to give me in 2021. Notice, I didn't talk about presentation. I didn't talk about social media. I didn't talk about bells and whistles. This is very underwhelming, but it's what our students need. They need to have a relationship with you, mom and dad, that's faithful and that you have conversations with surrounding adults, youth leaders. They need to know what the gospel is and what the gospel's not. They need to know the gospel transforms. Have you shared why you follow Jesus? Have you shared your transformational moment? You're like, dude, I was a pagan. They already know you were because you just kind of go, you don't talk about it. What would happen if you tell your story of why Jesus and the gospel means so much to you? Share that story. We have to serve together.
We have to make room for our kids to express and explore doubt, and we also need to make room for real relationships. Told you, totally underwhelming. So let me end with two questions for all of us. How's your pitching? Do you realize that if we want our young people, and I don't like little balls coming at me really fast. That's why I do football. It's kind of weird. But I understand the mechanics of it, that if you wanted to go straight down the pipe, they still had to catch it. But a little bit of curve of the hand, a little wind condition, that ball can go all over the place. So we need to be sure that as best as we can, we are pitching our faith to the next generation as clearly as possible. This is what it means to follow Jesus. And it probably has very little to do with what we usually argue and gripe about. They need to know what is the hope of Jesus in our life. Are you with me? Amen? So here's a verse that I wish was cut out of the Bible. There's no vacation Bible school songs with this. Very little flannel graph. Jesus said, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. I mean, I would rather sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. But do you see how Jesus is very aware of our community's response to these young people? Deuteronomy chapter 6, the very core of the Old Testament. We get these things inside of us and we pass them on to the next generation. Well, that's your job. I'm not going to hug my kid. I'm angry today. You can do it, Basil. Guess what? That's pretty good strategy sometimes because he's part of the community. All of us impact people's spiritual life. So how's our pitching? Do they know more about your political platform than your relationship with Jesus? Do they know more about your job and how you make money in this world today than they know about Jesus? Do they know more about your favorite sports team and why the Cowboys, you know, have this beautiful upper realm of, or do they know more about Jesus? Do you see me? We have to know. Beyond a doubt, do you know, do they know where your primary allegiance lies? And then I'll say for all of us, how's your catching? We live in a world where we want to blame everybody else for everything. But according to Romans chapter 1, we all are without excuse. We know right from wrong. We have to do something with this Jesus person. We have to do something about this life that's been presented to us. So you just don't get to go off to college and say, oh, my parents are so bad. Because you're going to have someone like me say, what are you going to do with this? What is your response to this message? Here's what Paul says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. If you're questioning and you're like, I don't know about this Jesus stuff, I will guarantee you, because I was here again years ago, and the legend of your community continues to grow. This is a good place. And if you're visiting and I'm talking to you online, come visit these people. This is a warm place. And I'm pretty sure you can find somebody that would help you with your catching of this story. If this seems too good to be true, and the gospel's too good, and these relationships are way too good to be true, would you please visit with someone about it? How many of y'all would visit with someone if they ask you the reason for your hope? You see this? Go to those people. Let's all stand together. I'm going to pray for us. Father, I just pray for all of us here that we will recommit to pitching our faith to the next generation clearer than ever before. Father, we live in a world that is so polarized. So many crazy things going on around us. And Father, we just declare, first of all, we are not shaken to our core because you are at our core and the kingdom of God is still good. Father, our relationship with you, this gospel has given us an abundant life, even in the midst of storm. Father, can we please communicate that to the next generation? And Father, for all of us, can we catch the truth that is presented to us? Father, as we stand before you one day, let us know not only that our sins were covered, but we lived a good life, an adventuresome life. We made the most of our time for those around us, for our own children, for our grandchildren, for every student here that they would have seen in our lives, a reality of a fully devoted life towards you. Through Jesus, we all say, amen.
Oh, may all who come behind